Breaking news from WRKC.
Amidst rising global tensions between the United States and North Korea, WRKC has taken the initiative to hold a diplomatic summit here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Invited to the studio are President of the United States, Donald Trump, and Supreme Leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un.
Hello, yes, it's me. So happy to be here. I love King's College, and I've met a lot of great kings. Burger, Sneaker, I could go on. And I love the WRKC News at 5, folks. It's not fake news. It's won a lot of awards, and I only listen to news with huge accolades.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm Kim Jong-un, Supreme Leader of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. I am hoping we can come to an agreeable resolution that will benefit the peoples of both our nations, even though yours is filled with imperialist swine.
What was that?
Imperialist swine.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
So, gentlemen, let's try and remain civil here. The goal of our meeting today is to try to find a solution to our two countries' disagreements that doesn't involve nuclear Armageddon. Any ideas where we could start?
I'm thinking nukes. Huge nukes. Some of the biggest. Great nukes, folks.
I personally wouldn't mind seeing fire rain down onto the homes of my enemies, destroying the entire foundation of their capitalist society.
Okay, actually, no. I think I just said we were going to try and avoid just that. Can we maybe come to a more diplomatic solution?
I think the next best way would have to be a rap battle.
Yes, actually, battle rapping is a cornerstone of North Korean culture.
Well, that's better, I guess. So what are the terms and conditions of the...
Whoever wins gets to nuke the opponent.
That sounds good to me.
Gentlemen, we've already decided we aren't going to...
It's too late. I've already got the launch codes with me. I take them everywhere.
Well, everyone, you heard it here first. It's a rap battle for the fate of the entire free world. Kim Jong-un versus Donald Trump.
There's no free world to rule over Donald, cause I'ma end it. I'm coming at you 20 times harder than Eminem did. It's DPRK on WRKC, showing POTUS how bad a battle can be. You couldn't win a popular vote to run your nation. I'm approved by 100% of my population. Rocket Man's got a shocking plane, you better get your wall out. Protect your southern border from the devastating fallout. Hotter than my nukes, I'm laying out what my plans are. Your chance of winning is smaller than your hands are. Americans are gonna get their comeuppance, cause I'm the only Kim that they can't keep up with. You like to cry fake, but this news here is real. You're NFL bound with the way you're gonna kneel. And I'm sorry for my pace, I don't mean to rush through, but I think you know a bit more about Russian than I do. Call me Uncle Vlad, cause I'm putting you in place. Make you feel bad, like the tanning on your face. I can tell you're scared still, so go running hot quick, cause my dad was called ill, but my rhymes are so sick.
President Trump, your response?
We're using this beat, and I'm making you pay. I'll bake you and your country like nuke souffle. Get this Chinaman out of here, he looks like a pig. And people say that my hair looks like a bad wig. The fake news in North Korea can get your people pumped. You can call me by and large, but you're the fat kid from up. Because your energy is low, you're a loser and loud. So over the top, it's like you're high upon a mushroom cloud. But even if you're not, get ready, cause you're gonna be. It's what happens when you mess with the United States of me. Half the people love me in this nation of millions. But even if they didn't, I'd still be worth billions. So let me just say, your bombs and rhymes suck. But it's the end of the world, so who gives a...
This is the News at 5 on WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the 2017 WRKC Halloween Spooktacular. I'm your anchor, Patricia Pestilence. The only reason I'm here is because I was born under power lines, so I'll be okay. Thank you for joining us, even though we may be the only radio station left. Tonight's stories are about the recent Chemistry Club Halloween special and mourning customs during the American Revolution. We will then listen to the Little Rocky Horror Theater, the Haunted Wilkes-Barre Tour, a spooky sports update, and hear the apocalyptic weather forecast. Every year, the King's College Chemistry Club puts on a show for people of all ages called Things That Go Boom. WRKC's Owen Vaughn attended the booming experience.
One, two, three.
Chemistry! Last Tuesday, the Burke Auditorium was full of children taking part in one of King's College's favorite Halloween traditions. Every year, the professors and students of the chemistry and physics departments come together to put on an explosive show for the local children called Things That Go Boom in the Night. We spoke with Dr. Julie Belanger of the King's Chemistry Department, who explained what the event is and what a special tradition it has become in the community.
Things Like a Boom in the Night is an annual event that we have for kids in the community. They get to come out and do all sorts of demos, some science demos, explosions and fiery things, and they have a good old time watching it all. It's been going on for 21 years now, and it started as a way to give back to the community so that the kids in the community can really see what science is about and see how we do science here at King's College.
Every year, the young audience fills the seats of Burke Auditorium. This year, there wasn't an empty seat in the whole room. Dr. Belanger explains why she thinks this is such an intensely popular event every year and why children keep coming back for more.
I think it's popular because the kids in the community really like to see fun things happening and to be able to see science in this sort of light, to be able to see it in fun, explosive ways, really popular with a younger crowd. It's definitely as fun as it looks. I know that well ahead of time we tend to practice the different demos that we do. I can honestly say for about an hour before the show we were practicing freezing random things in liquid nitrogen and trying to eat them. It seemed to be a big hit this year at the show. We froze a marshmallow and ate it right on stage, and it seemed like everyone was shocked that we had done so.
Along with performing exciting experiments, each student and faculty member dresses up in costume for the kids. Alexis Perez, a senior, was one of the King students who took part in the show. She told us about her experience performing experiments in costume in front of the crowd.
This was my first year. I did the foam fountain with my partner Shaggy. I was Scooby, and it was really cool to dress up and like recognize the characters because I grew up on Scooby-Doo, and that was 20 years ago. And then to see that they're still interested, we got a Scooby versus Shaggy chant going on, and that was fun. It was really interesting, and I kind of wish I started earlier because it was so much fun, and we kind of wanted to go back on and make the kids like go like, oh my goodness, because they were just so cute and energized. And they thought we were literally doing magic, but it wasn't.
Some people might be surprised that science experiments come together to create such a great show. Alexis explained why chemistry can actually be a great spectacle to captivate young audiences.
Well, the cool thing about science is you could do a reaction over and over the same experiment, but you'll get a different outcome. So, and there's just so much that you could take from it. And when you're starting off young, it's literally like magic. They don't understand what's going on. But as they get older, they're able to understand, oh, so that's like it's a chemical, and you put another chemical and then it goes up and boom happens, and then they just are able to understand it better.
This event goes beyond explosions, cool colors, and lights. Alexis explains how important Things That Go Boom in the Night is, creating an interest in chemistry, physics, and science in general with children.
With chemistry, when you're starting off, you need to learn the basics, and I feel like you don't really get to know what chemistry can really do until you're in college. So this is a great opportunity for kids to see what they can continue their learning and do, and it's so important to get kids into sciences because it's our day and age. New technology's coming out, new things are being discovered, and it kind of gives them a little, oh, I want to be that, because you always see people like, oh, I want to be a firefighter, and they're exposed to that a lot. But with science, not really, unless your parents are a scientist or they let you watch science and see shows. So I think it's a great way to expose kids into seeing like, hey, you could do whatever you want. And with science, there's nothing that is set in stone. You could have one weird chemical reaction one time, but then have something really cool the next time. And it's just like magic, like Hogwarts. Chemistry is Hogwarts.
And like magic, it certainly was. The show culminated in the annual blowing up of a pumpkin on the lawn outside the McGowan building. Whether you're a ghost, a goblin, or a kid after candy, you can't deny that King's College kicks off Halloween with a bang. Reporting for the WRKC News at 5, I'm Owen Vaughn.
Colonial superstitions put a frightening twist on history at the Denison House over the weekend. Station manager Katie Pugh watched the Luzerne County Historical Society dramatize hauntings and witchcraft.
On the way home to Plymouth. I bid you all a safe journey.
The Nathan Denison House is a local historical treasure. The house, which in modern times is a reproduction of Denison's home, perfectly recreates the property's 1790 state, where it withstood the Battle of Wyoming. The Battle of Wyoming was thematically central to a theatric educational presentation on colonial superstitions and witchcraft held Saturday evening. The Luzerne County Historical Society populated the house with three dramatizations related to the death of Colonel Zebulon Butler, the commanding officer during the Battle of Wyoming, who died 5 years after the battle from illness. The first act was his wife mourning over his coffin in the parlor of the house. She spoke of Butler's hallucination of a black stagecoach taking him away.
I ran back to my husband's bedside and grabbed his hand, and I must have grabbed it very hard, because he woke up and he looked at me and he said, "Phoebe, has it come then, the death coach? Has it come for me?" And I began to cry, and I said, "Yes, it is here, but please don't go. Please don't leave me alone. Please don't die. I love you." And he looked at me, and he gave that little crooked smile that I fell in love with so many years ago. And he said, "I love you too, but I must go." And with those words, he breathed his last.
She explained, though, that the stagecoach may not have been Butler's imagination.
I turned and looked, and to my astonishment, there stood my husband, his spirit. And I was absolutely befuddled. And then I watched, dumbstruck, as he glided down our staircase and out through the front door, which was closed and locked and bolted. He glided right through it. And I watched, in fascination and in horror, as he continued to glide inexorably towards that horrible, big, black coach waiting at the gate.
In the next room, an apothecary brewed teas, made balms, and burned sage to help calm the grieving mistress.
What a terror it must have struck in her heart. And so she has asked me to come use my wisdom passed on from my mother and my grandmother and her mother before her. So I make her a special tea. It eases the pain and the terrors. Those who have seen the death coach are frightened indeed of anything that goes bump in the night.
In the final room were two settlers from Wyoming who survived the battle. They recounted their trauma.
There's one memory that is coming to my mind too often. I grieved by it a little over 20 years ago. The battle and massacre of Wyoming. Signal went out in the valley that all was lost. And a soldier who survived the battle came to me and said, "Ma'am, your husband has fallen." I was now a widow, knowing only in flight could we have peace and safety and security. I gathered my five children, and with a sense of urgency, we had gathered very little provisions for our journey. Other families joined us, and there was only one horse amongst us to ease our burden.
Nancy Lykos from the Historical Society gave a brief history of the Denison House to give context to the educational performance.
The Denison House is a restoration of a 1790 colonial home. Nathan Denison was one of the major, we say, movers and shakers in the establishment of the settlement of Wyoming Valley. And when he had his original home on this property would have been a log cabin, a settler's log cabin. But then when he built the home, he patterned it after his ancestral home in Mystic.
Lykos also recounted what inspired Saturday's performance.
Well, it was the idea that it was a different concept from a haunted house, for one thing. It's entertaining, but it's also informative and educational. And the first 2 years, we had a different scenario than the one tonight.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm station manager Katie Pugh. Happy Halloween.
Coming up next, we'll time warp back to this weekend's Rocky Horror Shadowcast and walk the haunted streets of Wilkes-Barre.
In these dire situations, where else can you turn but us, Doomsday Donnie and Wreckage Ronnie?
We're the best at taking care of problems.
Or what you call businessmen, just from the darker side.
Yeah, we love the black market.
Dummy up, Ronnie. We've got all the stuff you need to protect yourself and get that revenge that you've always wanted.
Yeah, take a page from our book.
They have more stuff to worry about than the disappearance of that pesky neighbor of yours. Anyway, we have anything that you could need. Guns.
Nuclear.
Body armor.
Dirty bombs.
Knives.
Nerve gas.
Let's just say we have everything.
Anthrax.
Ronnie, get away from that.
Sorry, boss.
Don't try to find us. We'll find you.
So don't worry about it.
Here at Betty's Bunker and Breakfast, we have all you and your family will need to ride out the apocalypse in comfort. From our anti-radiation baths to our abundance of MRE packs, all in a cozy bunker styled by renowned decorator Martha Stew Warhead. Book your reservations now before we close our doors for the next few decades. We are located 1,000 feet below where the Luzerne County Courthouse once stood. But we promise you'll never see the light of day.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
This Halloween season, audiences get to participate alongside the cast and crew of the indie cult hit The Rocky Horror Picture Show. WRKC's Brian Jones reports on the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre's production of this world-renowned classic.
For the last 4 years, the Little Theater in Wilkes-Barre has been making audiences laugh, scream, and throw toast. The Richard O'Brien hit musical comes to stage this Halloween season. Director Katie Owen tells what she loves about the production.
I think how the audience gets to interact with the show is something that you really don't get too much of.
Little Theater gives life to the classic show, carrying on the Rocky Horror tradition of allowing audience participation, of throwing rice, toast, and the spraying of water guns at the cast, and also heckling throughout. One of the many reasons Rocky Horror stands out as a classic. Mike Vovgenik, who has been playing Frankenfurter since college, talks about what it takes to prepare and what he loves about playing the eccentric host.
So what I love about the role is just the freedom, being able to put yourself out there 100%. It's extremely cathartic. You're allowing yourself to be vulnerable. You're almost naked, essentially, on stage. And it's sort of terrifying to put yourself in front of a whole audience screaming callbacks at you. But Frankenfurter just has such a power to him, and there's such a mutual respect between him and the audience. And so it's just a wonderful feeling because you're just a giant dysfunctional family.
So come on down to the Little Theater in Wilkes-Barre for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Brian Jones.
Throughout its history, the city of Wilkes-Barre has amassed some haunted history. WRKC's Nicole Siprich got a chance to explore these spooky locations.
It was a cool fall night when the Wilkes-Barre Historical Society held its annual ghost-themed tour of the city, where there were tales of war, murder, cannibalism, and ghostly activity. From the earliest record of this region to more modern times, this area has always been plagued by nefarious activity. To begin the tour, our tour guide, Laura Lewis, wanted to remind us all what this tour was actually about. Aside from the ghostly fun, the history of this area is the most important takeaway.
It's the Historical Society that keeps this valley alive in many ways, but it's the history that's kept alive, and that's more important to us than anything.
The most outlandish tale of the night all started with a grasshopper in two different Native American tribes and ended in many deaths.
There was a lot of violence and bloodshed here in the valley long before the settlers arrived. Local Indian legends tell of how Shawnee women and children crossed over the river to this side to meet a party of Delaware women who were playing with their children. They had left their part of the valley to look for wild fruit that grew in this wilderness that was here. A Shawnee child was supposed to have caught a large grasshopper that one of the Delaware kids wanted. And the fight between the children turned into a fight among the women, and soon the male warriors got involved. Half of the Shawnee braves were killed right here, forcing the tribe to abandon this area completely to the Delaware tribe. And it became an event called the Grasshopper War.
Lewis went on to explain that things didn't get much easier for the people who traveled in and around what is known as the Wyoming Valley today. The settlers, who were not well prepared to travel through the valley's unique environment, most certainly experienced some horrible times.
An often told story from the Poconos is the tale of a Connecticut woman whose baby died on the route back to Connecticut. And she had other children that, at that point, when they had reached that after several days of walking, she had to feed them. And the story goes that she decided to cook her dead baby and feed the other children so they could survive the rest of that walk home.
Another harrowing account of death and despair in Wilkes-Barre was told by a local girl who had firsthand knowledge of what happens to our bodies after they are buried.
There was a woman in town by the name of Edith Brower who grew up in the 1800s here, and she wrote a little tiny book called Little Wilkes-Barre as I Knew It. Her father exhumed the graves and was in charge of the removal of her entire family. Several strange tales were told to her by her father about the condition of some of those bodies. One of her little cousins, who had died at the age of 2, when they opened his coffin, they found that his hair had grown more than a foot. And they opened the coffin of one of her uncles, and they found his hair going through the cracks of the coffin. She also was told by her father that they had a great deal of difficulty down a little bit further because the bodies had become petrified.
Lois went on to tell about another account from little Edith Brower and how the people of the city have always had an interest in events involving death.
Right behind the facade of that building, you would find the yard where public hangings were held. And actually, public hangings were quite the rage in the 1800s. Invitations were sent out to prominent individuals, and the whole town, it would become kind of like a carnival circus atmosphere. Imagine where the Genetti's Hotel is. There were homes and buildings on that side of the street, right across from the jail. And people would get up on their roofs and they would put up ladders against the homes so they could see the hangings in the yard. This Edith Brower, who wrote the little book, said people came to town in droves to see the hangings, which took place in the old jail yard at the corner of Market and Washington. The stone wall did not discourage these eager folks, who were no more bloodthirsty than I was. And she was a little girl at the time.
Reporting for WRKC News at 5, this is Nicole Siprich.
Is the apocalypse making your looks go from cute to creepy? Have no fear, Scary Carrie's post-apocalyptic salon can make even the most frightening faces fierce again. Is your skin peeling off? Try our atomic adhesive guaranteed to pull your face together. Is your hair falling out? Try our geohazard gel to protect your luscious locks. Trust Scary Carrie with all your catastrophic cravings. Creep into Scary Carrie's post-apocalyptic salon at 666 Franklin Street before it's too late.
Tune in for the Rachel Radiation Show, where you can learn all about how to turn your canned goods into delicious home newt meal. With my help, your spam could be a tasty Christmas ham. Today I will be joined by Martha Stew Warhead.
Thanks, Ray. I'm so excited to share my old clothes and incinerated garden potpourri pouches. Since we all wear hazmat suits now, you'll have plenty of fabric to choose from. We all miss the great outdoors, so use your kids' artistic talents to draw windows of the gorgeous outdoor views we once knew. And when you're done, you can melt the crayons down to make colorful homemade candles.
If we are all still alive this time tomorrow, don't forget to tune in to the Rachel Radiation Show.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. The King's College football team defeated FDU Florham 18-15 on Saturday. The Monarchs entered the fourth quarter at McCarthy Stadium down by 5 points. The Monarchs then would cut the deficit to 2 points after a 40-yard field goal by Mike Tumanello. The Devils would put the score back to 5 after they landed a field goal of their own. With 20 seconds left on the clock, quarterback Zach Whitehead kept the ball and rushed for a 1-yard touchdown at the goal line. The Monarchs followed their scoring drive with a 2-point conversion pass from Whitehead to receiver Corey Flynn. Offensively, Zach Whitehead completed 17 passes on 36 attempts for 218 yards with a touchdown and 2 interceptions. Defensively for Kings, Chris DeGaetano had 9 tackles, while Bruce Damon and Eli Vascos contributed 8 tackles of their own. With the Monarchs' win, they improved to 4-4 on the season. The Monarchs travel to Widener University on Saturday for a MAC Freedom Conference matchup. The Kings College men's soccer team notched a 4-1 victory at FDU Florham on Saturday. The win enabled the Monarchs to clinch the number 2 seed in the week's conference tournament and a home semifinal game. Brendan Rabb equaled his career high with 2 goals in the contest. The Monarchs finished the regular season with an 11-6-1 record. King's College junior Stephen Valencia was named the Middle Atlantic Conference Freedom Men's Soccer Offensive Player of the Week, the conference office announced earlier today. Kings will be back in action on Wednesday when they host third-seeded DeSales University in a rematch of last weekend's overtime battle. The King's College women's soccer team fell 3-1 to host FDU Forum on Saturday afternoon in the team's season finale in Madison, New Jersey. The Lady Monarchs' season ends with an 8-6-2 overall record and a 3-4 mark in conference play. The Lady Monarchs finished the season with the fewest goals allowed in a season in program history. The 13 goals allowed this year breaks the previous record of 21 that was recorded in 2015. The King's College women's cross-country team placed 2 on the All-Middle Atlantic Conference first team and added another to the third team to finish in a program best, fourth place place out of 16 scoring teams at the Middle Atlantic Conference Championship meet on Saturday at Delaware Valley University in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. The men's ice hockey team dropped their season opener to Brockport State University on Friday night, 6-2. Freshman Cameron Ankiewicz scored the first goal in program history. Luciano Bucci scored the second and final goal for the Monarchs. Goalie Jake Tugnutt made 42 saves in net after facing 46 shots. The Monarchs returned to the ice on November 4th at Elmira College. The Lady Monarch volleyball team swept both of its opponents 3-0 Friday night at the Kings College tri-match to close the regular season. With the clean sweep victories, Kings improves to 20-10 overall and has recorded 20 or more wins for the third consecutive season. The Lady Monarchs return to action on November 1st to face DeSales in the semifinal round of the MAC Freedom Tournament at 7 p.m. The Kings College men's and women's swimming teams both continued their solid early season performances by sweeping a dual meet from Cabrini College Saturday in Radnor, Pennsylvania. The Kings men improved to 2-0 on the season with a 111-70 victory, while the women evened their mark at 1-1 on the season after posting a 122-76 triumph. This has been your Monarch Sports Update. Have a safe and happy Halloween. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather with Lester and Chester, the two-headed mutated weatherman.
Hello.
And good afternoon.
It's another wonderful day.
In post-apocalyptic Wilkes-Barre.
The worms are chirping.
And the birds... Well, let's not talk about the birds.
We'd report on the weather, but the nuclear heat broke the thermometer.
And we're not going out there to fix it.
We recommend to keep an eye out for marauders.
Between the war zone and the ozone, we can't catch a break.
And remember, folks, nuclear winter is coming, and you know what that means.
That stuff falling from the sky is ash, not snow.
Don't eat it.
Yellow.
Or otherwise.
Just a friendly reminder that radiated sludge has been dumped in the river.
Water remains terrible, and Susquehanna, unchanged.
And that's it for us, folks. I'm Lester.
And I'm Chester, your favorite weather... men?
Well, we only have one body.
Yeah, but two heads.
Whatever, who cares? The world ended. Just cut it.
Do you feel threatened by the wasteland? Well, have no fear. Your post-apocalyptic survival kits are here. The kits have food, fire starters, flashlights, first aid kits, filleting knives, flare guns, and a FitRad 4000. Each kit comes in various themes, such as the 80s, Video Game Deluxe, Ultimate Sports Edition, and Comic Superheroes. See us on Facebook at Radical Survival Kits. Also check out our website, RadicalSurvivalKits.com.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio Kings College, Wilkes-Barre.
Hey man, can you turn on the lights? I can't hear.
Yo, turn up the volume, I can't see!
What's that on the TV?
Ghouls Gone Wild!
That's pretty dope, man.
I know!
No, literally, where is my stash?
We ran out!
Hey, crack a lantern. Let's get out of here and go to my... van down by the river.
Where'd all the people go?
What's that smell, man? I mean, I know smells, but this is something like nuclear.
Dude, there's so much room for activities.
Never mind the missing people, dog. I'm hungry. You got any Twinkies?
No. All I got is Doritos, Slim Jims, and Taco Smell.
You know, I always wanted to make my own Big Mac.
Let's go to Wendy's then.
Sounds like a plan, my man.
Oh, jeez. Everyone died.